Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
James, in writing to the scattered Jews, these people were scattered because they were persecuted, right? So James is writing to these people. I guess they met in small groups in different areas, in different houses. And James is writing, he's identifying one problem thing in the church, a problem thing that is preventing people from being holy, from being different from the rest of people in the world, from reflecting God's holiness, because that is our purpose, to reflect God's holiness. And that is why God asked us to be holy. So James said to the people, you know, dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to be reading from a different version. It's a New Living Translation. I'm just going to read to verse 12 so you can hear the difference. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubbling out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Now James, in speaking to the scattered Jews, is saying, you know, there are people in the church who want the position. They want to teach and they want to preach. And James is giving them a strict warning, a firm warning, and saying, look, be careful. Not many of us should be teachers. Why? Because the people who teach and preach are judged more firmly by God. Why is that so? Because if you're a teacher or a preacher, it means that you have an understanding of the word of God. And therefore, you are responsible, since you know it, to obey it. So you want to be a teacher? Think about that. But then he goes on to say, we all make mistakes, right? None of us are perfect in the sense of real perfection like Jesus Christ. And he's saying, if anyone does not offend with the tongue, that person is perfect and they can control their whole body. And when he uses this word perfect, it means that person is a mature Christian. In other words, your spiritual maturity is measured by the way you control your tongue. And of course, the tongue is not, you know, just a part of the body standing by itself. The tongue is controlled by the mind, because your tongue is a slave to your mind. Your tongue is like a puppet controlled by your mind. Whatever you think is going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speak. So you can't say, oh, sorry, it was a slip of the tongue. It's more like what is inside of you that is coming out. It's never a slip of the tongue. Never a slip of the tongue when you cut down a brother or sister. It's never a slip of the tongue when you speak corrupt communication out of your mouth. Never. Out of the abundance of your heart, my brothers and sister, your mouth will speak. And if you are finding that you cannot speak those things that are wholesome, you cannot speak those things that will edify brothers and sisters, it means that your heart is corrupt. It's not wholesome. James is warning the brothers and sisters about the danger and the wickedness of the tongue. Because oftentimes we underestimate the tongue, don't it? Sometimes we think that we're in control and we can control the things that we do. And we're living right and we're doing the right things all the time. But we're not saying the right things. Am I right? Sometimes you think that your life is so much in check and you're so much with God, but you never seem to speak the right things. You're always offending with your mouth. If any man can live a life without offending with his mouth, it means that you're going closer towards spiritual maturity. And that is what holiness is. Being more like God. Being different from the world. Am I right? Yes. Indeed, we all make mistakes. And if anyone can control the tongue, that person is perfect and can control the whole body. So, if you are able to control the things that you say, it means that you are able to control yourself in every other way. And of course, that is one attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, right? Temperance. And it means not just controlling the things that you do. It means not just holding back yourself from a fight or somebody offend you, you want to punch them or you want to kick them or you just want to throw a big stone in somebody's mirror when them splash you. It's not just bodily control, but self-control, my friends, means controlling your tongue, controlling your mind. Because remember, your tongue is a slave to your mind. And whatever your mind tells you to do, your tongue will say it. That's why I had to be biting my tongue. That's why I had to be biting my lips. Because people sometimes do things to you and say things to you that the mind is just telling you to react in the flesh. And you know, some things, you know, I always hear this in when I was going to all age school. They'd sing, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can do me nothing." Is that true? Oh, come on. I can tell you this. Some of the most hurtful pain I felt was not caused by any object. It wasn't the beating I used to get from my mother. It's not the beat up I get at school. It's not the accident that I was in, but the words that people said to me. And those things can stick forever. And I can tell you that there are people here inside this church who are hurting because of the tongue. Am I right? There are people here who are separated from each other because of the tongue. There are families that are broken. There are friendships. There are people who grew up from baby and they're adult and they're just torn apart because of an uncontrolled tongue, a corrupt tongue, a lying tongue. It's not just corrupt words. Those are lying lips too. The Bible says lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. And people are apart because of this tongue. This same very little thing. You see, James used these analogies, the story of the horse, and this small thing that they place in the horse's mouth to just turn him to the right and turn him to the left. And imagine a big, powerful, strong, healthy horse is controlled by a little thing like this. How many of you would brave it to go stand up in front of a horse and say, "Go that way"? How many of you? But this little thing called a bit controls a horse. And it directs him whichever way the rider wants him to go. This little thing. This is just one analogy that James uses to show the power and the influence of the tongue. And sometimes we underestimate that. Another analogy James used is a ship and the rudder. For those of you who don't know what the rudder is, the ship is like this, and there's a little thing at the back. And when the pilot moves the yoke, it just moves like this and turn it in a direction. Or move like this and turn it in a... And it's very small. It's not big. Can you imagine a big ship sailing on the ocean? Fierce wind. Storms coming. And this little, tiny, weeny, beany thing controlling that big ship against those terrible storms. Well, imagine a tongue and its influence. Imagine what your tongue can do. That is exactly the picture that James is trying to paint. And of course, a spark. You know what a spark is? It's not when you light the match, you know, you see the little fire, you know. That is not the spark. The spark is the gas. It's sometimes you see fly and sometimes burn you. Spark destroys a whole forest. A spark burns on a whole church or a house. One little spark. And I'm reminded of this song. It only takes a spark to get the fire going. Now, you're looking at a spark that is burning down a whole forest. And you see the destruction. You see the ruin. All you can see is blackness. No life. And that is exactly what the tongue can do. People use a tongue to kill people. James said the tongue is poisonous. It is full of deadly poison. It is an unruly evil, unable to be controlled. It's like a child sometimes you say, stick broke in your ears. Stick broke in your ears, picnic. I'm so unruly. Nobody can control a little picnic. That's how James is trying to describe the tongue. Unruly evil. Deadly poison. And of course, if you know anything about deadly poison, that would kill you in seconds, right? In seconds. That is the picture James is trying to paint of the tongue. So, after today, are you going to take a closer look at your tongue? Are you going to go into the mirror and say, oh boy. But anyway, it is very powerful and influential. And in the same way that fire can destroy a whole forest, and fire can destroy anything and everything, it is the same way, it's the same influence that your tongue has. And some of you, I can tell you, boy, the damage you have caused with that little tongue. Can just imagine the damage you have caused. And I had to be reflecting on some things that I've said to people. And sometimes I say, you know what, I don't care. I'll just tell you what I want. I'm just going to give it to you. And man, I was in pain when I was preparing this message. I'm like, oh God, why me? This tongue? Oh boy, need to control it. But this is a picture that James is trying to paint. If you're going to strive to holiness, if you're going to be more like God, if you're going to reflect God to the people on the outside, you must learn to control your tongue. But of course, James said that, guess what? Wild animals, fish, all the wild beasts in the sea, all the wild beasts on land, all of them, they have been tamed. And some of them are in the process of being tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. Oh boy. I remember I was working on the wharf one time and I was walking past this big open container with some grills. I wasn't even aware that the Suarez people were here, right? It's the first time I've ever seen a tiger face to face, like really face to face. Now, I was passing this thing and something just said, turn to the left. When I turned to the left, I saw a head, almost half my body, and I was so frightened. I don't know how I reached on the wall. This thing was parked on the sidewalk, and I was just passing it. And I saw that beast, and I'm like, oh my God, this thing is almost the size of a cow. And I'm saying, can you imagine somebody playing with that thing? The teeth, and I look at the teeth, the thing was going, and I was like, oh my God, help me. This thing was in a cage. And I'm saying, can you... I really respect those guys who tame those things and play with them, but I'll never do it. Now James is saying, all the wild beasts you can think about, all those animals, all the lizards that you are afraid of, and the spiders that you are afraid of, mankind tame all of those. But the tongue can no man tame. Shouldn't you be more afraid of the tongue than a lizard? Huh? Shouldn't you be more afraid of the tongue? Because you can imagine, that lizard that you're afraid of can be tamed. That dog that you're afraid of can be tamed. That tiger, that lion, or whatever, that crocodile, if you live in Portmore, can be tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. Man, I'm afraid of the tongue. But guess what? There is hope. There is hope. Because when man cannot tame the tongue, God can. And I show you as an example. In Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were preaching, and you had people from different tongues in the place, God took control of the tongue of the disciples, and they preached a message that 3,000 people were saved. That is God taking control of the tongue, my friend. There is hope. If you can't control your tongue, God can. If you are afraid of the tongue because it is untamed, God can tame it. There is nothing that God cannot do, my friends. So there is hope. Really don't want to live in a state of hopelessness. There is hope. God can tame that tongue. James asked some questions. You know, just to prove that, I mean, this tongue. You know, this morning we come to church and we bless God. And of course we're blessing God this morning, right? Amen. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord, brother. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. God is good. You know what? My God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh God, we're bigging up God, don't it? Yes, we're bigging up God. We're praising God. Church done. You see that boy over there? Woo! Let me tell you about him. Church done, and you start telling lies. That tongue, the same mouth that you used not more than 5 minutes ago to praise God, you go outside on your phone and you're tearing down somebody. James said, Bridging, it's not supposed to be like that. That is not supposed to be. You can't be praising God this moment with that same tongue, and the next minute you're cursing. And that, oh, look, just cursing. It's not like you're cursing the trees. Or you're cursing a dog that is not made in the image of God. You're cursing the image of God. So what are you doing? You're blessing God and you're cursing him at the same time. Because if you're cursing the image of God, you're cursing God. Am I right? How can you bless God this minute and then curse your brother who is made in the image of God? Man cannot see God, but they can see God through you. So how can you bless God and then curse your brother? How can you bless God and then curse the pastor? How? Bitter water and sweet water come from the same fountain. You ever experienced that yet? If the water is bitter, it's bitter. If it is sweet, it is sweet. If it's dirty, it's dirty. It can't be dirty and clean at the same time. You never see a grape in a mango tree yet. You know, it's funny. I was walking down Rompton one day, and right under, what kind of tree was that? Guinea tree, there was a nice, fat, juicy, Julie mango. Firm. And I was walking with some people, and the person took out the mango, and like, your mango had just dropped. And I'm like, Regin, you're crazy. It's a Guinea tree. Oh, mango must drop out of Guinea tree. And him look up and him realize, it's the same thing. Mango cannot come from Guinea tree. Grapes can't come from fig. And in the same way, cursing must not come from the mouth that blessing is coming from. If it's blessings, it's blessings. If it's cursings, it's cursings. It's either one or the other. And you must decide that. And you cannot say you're striving to holiness and curse people. You must control your tongue. If it means you bite it, you bite it. If you're right and offend, you cut it off. If it's blessings, my friends, it's blessings. Keep it real. If you have a problem with someone, go to them. Don't curse them behind the back. You know, I love a cappella. It's one of my favorite type of music, right? And there's a song, I think when I just became a Christian, that became my favorite song. Of all the things you do to hurt friends, you've hurt them by your tongue. Relationships will fatally end without a knife or gun. Wait until their back's behind you, then you put them down. How can you be talking about friends when they're not around? How could you be talking about friends when they're not around? It hurts you more than a knife or a gun can hurt you. The point is, if you are going to strive to holiness, if you want to be holy, if you want to reflect God, if you want to show off your holiness, then learn to control your tongue. And of course, I say, even though it's untamed, there is hope because God can. And I want you to be thinking about the people you have offended, friends that you have torn apart, people that you tear down every day or even every week. And I want you to make a commitment. God wants you to make a commitment to use your tongue as an instrument of righteousness and not an instrument of unrighteousness. And if you're not a Christian and you're saying, but how can God control my tongue when I don't have him? Well, you can start by using your tongue to confess Jesus Christ and believing in your heart. You see where the heart and the tongue is always connected? You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess him with your tongue that he's Lord. And of course, it's better you confess now and reap the benefit, or confess then and suffer the penalty. But either way, you're going to confess, because every tongue will confess and every single knee will bow. And you're going to say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. So why not do it now? Now is the time. You're without excuse, my friend. And I even want to use a double negative. You are not without excuse. You can't say you have an excuse. Oh, I'm not a Christian, so I don't have to control my tongue. Start by confessing Jesus Christ and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. So every person here is now responsible for their tongue, because with knowledge comes responsibility. So you can't say you never know, right? Nobody here can say, oh, I didn't know the danger of the tongue. I didn't know that to be holy, I need to control my tongue. None of you here. You are now responsible for your tongue, because God has spoken.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart.